and spoken to you. Mary's telling me three times I spoke to you on God's thoughts are precious. Well, I think the gist today, and if I repeat myself from a year ago, then evidently someone here, I trust that I have the mind and will of the Lord in speaking to you from this, from Luke, from another psalm. I'll think of it in a minute. No, Jeremiah 29. I trust you'll find it fresh. And I'm sure there are times when there are times that you go to the table and you had a meal that you had a week or 2 weeks before or 2 days before, and you enjoyed it as much. I do trust it'll be different. I trust, though, that I'll have your hearing, because if I don't have that, then we can dismiss now, because the Spirit of God is not working. So I need your hearing, and we need each other's prayers as we look at God revealing Himself or His mind. Therefore, you couldn't know that if God didn't. So would you bow with me as we seek His dear face? Our Father, we're thankful for Thy word that You've left us, revealing Yourself, Your divine power, and Your infinite wisdom. Therefore, we can rest in whatever situation comes our way, whatever environment we find ourselves in, we can sit quietly, though it might be frustrating at first. We can catch ourselves, refocus our attention, and get them back on Thee, O great Lamb of God, that all power in heaven and in earth has been given to Thee. We say given, You as God had it, but You ascended as the God-man. And it was to that being that all power was given. So Thou art King of kings and Lord of lords. And we rest comfortably in that, knowing our God reigns supremely, always, providing only the best for the children. As the natural parent who in love gives only that which is needed, though the children at times think they did not deserve that or need that, the parents give only that which is needful for the children. So Thou art our Father, and in Thee, O God, we rest. And now, Father, as we come to Thy Word, make it living. Make it real, a reality within. Make it beneficial to our daily walk, our daily life. And provide the children with nourishment for their souls. May Thou, O God, be glorified. Christ be exalted to that highest pinnacle in our hearts and minds. And may the Spirit of God direct. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's begin with verse number 1. Of course, the psalm is that of David. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. But David gets down to the most minute things of life. When I sit down and when I get up, Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Before there are over 7 billion people in the world. And before 7 billion people ever got on the earth, God knew the thinking of every one of them. And He knows yours. Now that could be very disturbing. Except you wanting to follow the Lord and serve Him. And you just rest like David. You know when I sit down. You know when I get up. You understand my thoughts not only for the day, but for the rest of my life. Verse 3, Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful. Sometimes you will find that word wonderful translated secret. And the knowledge of God is a secret until God reveals His mind to His children. David said, that's just too wonderful. That's too secretive. It's too high. I cannot attain unto it. And then for the next few verses, he describes the omnipresence of God. If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, lo, Thou art there. God is in heaven. God is in hell. The only difference between one in heaven and one in hell is not that they are outside the presence of God. It's that those in heaven are in the presence of God, rejoicing under His mercy and grace. Those in hell have got to look at the face of the one that they wanted the rocks and the mountains to cover them and hide them from. But they'll live eternally looking and having God look at them apart from mercy. Now, folks, if the unconverted man could get quiet, when I use the word man, I am not singling out man only, but I just use it. If the unconverted, I'll put it that way, could get quiet in mind long enough, then these verses that I have read and have mentioned after that, then they would be terrifying. But that won't ever be unless one is arrested and thrown in God's prison and sit there to think about his condition. It's like the rioters and the lawbreakers. And by the way, some cities are wanting to do away with the police. That's reflective of us. We don't like authority. Well, let's just get rid of the police and let's police ourselves. Well, let's get rid of God and let's be the judge of what's right for me and what's wrong for me. Because everything you see out there that's going on is just a reflection of that which is going on in the church. Killing millions of babies. Now they want to do it at birth. Some states even do, or have passed a law where they can. Well, for generations, the gospel that has been preached has been murdering unborn. And on and on. But let's get beyond the unconverted, the lawless one, the unconcerned. These verses could be somewhat terrifying even to a child, more so to a child that was struggling in a particular area in his or her walk. And yet, if you just stop here and dwell a little bit, that which was a comfort to David, you'll find a great comfort to you. Search me and know me. One thing that all of you should realize is that an all-seeing and an all-knowing God doesn't have to do any searching in you, any tracing where you might be to find out. But David's looking at it as a child looking into the face of his father. And he said, search me. Our Father, Heavenly Father, like a dedicated parent, will keep a close watch on his children. He wants to see our motives. And he never searches us to condemn us. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He just watches over us as a loving father to make sure that our steps are ordered, make sure that we are obedient to his will, and he, as a tender, loving father, keeps that all-seeing eye, all-searching eye upon us. As a father, to strengthen our weaknesses. As a father, to encourage when we are downcast. As a father, to gently lead you. As Jacob said to his brother, no, I can't go with you. I'll follow behind. He said, I've got young children and I've got young flock. He said, I'll put the children and the young flock out and my family will make our pace at the pace of those little ones. So our Father gently leads. And David, thinking about all this, he said, that's just too wonderful. That's too secretive for me. But instead of creating fear in a child's heart, it is a delight. My Father is looking at me, and my Father is watching over carefully. Now, verse number 17. Mary was telling me, I've been here 3 times, so I won't linger here. Not long, I don't think. How precious, prized, or valuable also are thy thoughts. Now, one thing, folk, that none of you can know is the thoughts of another mortal being sitting beside you, standing alongside. Even if both of you are of equal intelligence, you can't know apart from communication. Now, you can live with and become so familiar with one that you can see by their countenance pleasing or disliking, satisfaction or unsatisfaction. You can see all these things and you can know them, but the inmost thoughts you can't know unless they communicate it to you. But as to knowing God's thoughts, if I can't know your thoughts, and you and I are on equal footing in intelligence, how can I ever know God's thoughts? To that, I can't. It's far above a human being. Isaiah 55, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. I can't even know your thoughts. You don't know my thoughts unless I tell you what I'm thinking. And as high as I can get in my thinking, God's still far, far out there. It was Psalm 40 that I was thinking about when I said we'll look at another one, but we won't. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works that thou hast done for the children, and thy thoughts to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order, and if I would declare them, God's thoughts, they're more than can be numbered. And David's looking there, and he's saying the human mind and the human intelligence can't ascend to know what God's thinking. Folk, I can't even communicate with an infinite mind if left to myself. I'll just get up from what I call prayer, having uttered some words. If the Spirit of God does not help us and give us a language understandable by the Father, then we just are talking. And if I can't communicate with God apart from Him, I certainly can't know God. I can't know the thoughts of God apart from Him. In my early years in the ministry, I sat amazed listening to some of the old men of the last generation as they spoke about God, their insight into the Scriptures, and God Himself. And it was so overcoming that I was just in silence. Now, if I sat with Albert Einstein, you know, he discovered relativity, quantum theory of light, either indirectly or directly is responsible for nuclear energy and the nuclear bomb. Marie Curie, another brilliant mind, IQ 180 to 200. Others estimated, tested with IQ running from 250, and Einstein was 160 to 180. And look what all he did for us, and others with an IQ from 250 upward. Now, you think I could sit down with any of those great minds and carry on a conversation with them? I mean, they could get down to the lowest level and in their thinking, and I still couldn't relate to them. Well, now, what about God? One of the sayings that I remember from years ago about Einstein that I've always liked much. He said there are two things infinite: the universe and human stupidity. But I'm not certain about the second one. No, the first one, I'm sorry. I'm not certain about the universe being infinite. But I'm pretty certain about the stupidity of human being. I'm thinking, well, if he could get down to 2020 and look, he wouldn't give us sense enough to get in out of the rain if in his day human stupidity was infinite. It amazes me. I'm not talking about you now, but it amazes me across our country at the sheer stupidity of people. Well, I won't get into that. You can thank me for not doing so after the service. One thing, every once in a while I would ask those old men a question, but for the most part I sat quietly, especially in gatherings after the service where there were two or three of them together. I just sit there and listen. And I wouldn't open my mouth before Albert Einstein or Marie Curie or the old forefathers of our country framing such a great document that they framed. I wouldn't open my mouth and manifest my ignorance to any of them. I mean, it's better to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're stupid than to open it and prove you are. I don't know who said that, but I was just sitting in silence. You remember Elihu, a young man? I don't know when he came, but he had been listening to Job's three friends and Job, and he kept silent until he said, "Inside me is like wine bubbling up. It's going to burst this container if I don't get it out." He said, "I gave you men. I gave you opportunity to speak. And I've sat here and I've listened to all of you. One thing I've determined from listening to you is that aged men are not always wise. Gray hairs do not always mean wisdom." So he opened his mouth and said, "Thus and thus," confronting them. Then there are times that all of us, all of you, I myself, we just stay silent, knowing that folks are incapable of hearing when you're talking about the Lord what you have to say, or they don't have an interest in it. no one, though, with the highest IQ can, by their intelligence, find out, know God, and know the mind of God. Canst thou, by searching, find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Job 11. I can't. And you can't. You can't find out God by human intelligence, but you can come before God in humility as a learner and learn God. Jeremiah said, if you won't hear, then my soul will weep for you in secret places until I get your audience, till I can get you thinking above human reasoning, get your mind into the heavenlies and begin to have the very mind of God revealed to you. You say, well, I've got the mind of God revealed to me in Scripture. You've got a letter. All it is. It's not like a wife receiving a letter from a husband she's lived with for 15 years that shipped overseas. She knows in between the lines, and she reads it many times. That's all she's got of him. A child of God comes to the Scripture like that wife opens that letter. We come in anticipation of finding out. I want to know something about his heart. I want to know what he's saying in between lines that he's written. And she reads it over and over. Until you get a desire to hear God from the Holy Book, you're not going to hear him. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who the preacher might be. You're just not going to hear God till you have a heart to. Now turn with me to Luke 22. I'm sorry, Luke 10. Luke 10, 22. Our Lord speaking. All things are delivered to me of my Father. Now, folk asked God before he ever got here, he knew all things. By him, the worlds were created. Man's been studying creation and everything in it for 8,000 years. And we're getting down to understanding a little about the human body and a little about the molecular makeup of all substances. We're beginning to have a little understanding of how things might fit together and work together. But an infinite mind made all that. But that mind in Christ, becoming man, Jesus, emptied himself. And he grew in wisdom. He learned everything that he now knows as a human being. All things are delivered. What he found out as the man, Jesus, he found out by the Father revealing it. Now listen to Revelation 1. You don't have to turn. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. That infant didn't know anything. Knew very little at 6 months old or at a year old. But he's beginning to learn by the time he's 12. And he's found out that God in heaven is his Father. But he had to find it out by revelation. By all things being delivered to him of his Father. Now listen, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Knowledge is essential for your peace, for your safety, for your security, for your walk, for the quietness of your heart. If you don't have knowledge within of God, then you're living in a society of nothing but complete frustration. And without knowledge, you can't be a Christian. This is eternal life, John 17:3, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You can't be a child of God without knowledge. And you can't have knowledge apart from the revelation of God to you as an individual. And the knowledge here is not attainable by human intellect. No man knows the Father but me. No man knows the Son but my Father. If you ever get to know my Father, then I'll be the one that implants that divine knowledge in your head. I'll be the one that introduces, and if you ever get to know me, it'll be the Spirit of God that introduces me to you. You can have an IQ of 250, 300. Or as low as Einstein was, 160, 180. You can have an IQ that high, but you can't know God. You can't know Jesus. You can accumulate facts. You can become a scholar in theology. I mean, the Sanhedrin was the mighty, grand 70 scholars in Israel. They knew it. They could dissect the Old Testament and tell you everything about it in the written word, but they missed the living word, the person of God walking in their midst. Now here's as high as human intelligence can take you. Jesus asked the disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" Human intelligence, this is as high as it goes. Well, some said that you're John the Baptist risen. Some say you're Elias or Elijah come back again. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. All right, fellas, let's put down what all men are saying and who they are saying I am. And let me ask you personally, whom say ye that I am? And of course, Peter would always want to be in the forefront, as is his personality. Peter blurted out for all of them, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Our Lord said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." He used his natural birth name, not the name of Peter that he'd given him. Simon, son of Jonah, thou art blessed. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. Everything. If you go back to verse 21 in this chapter, everything is hidden from mankind. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Thankful that God, his Father, had hidden these things from the wise and prudent, yes. But also thankful that his Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, had revealed them unto babes. Father, that seemed good in your sight. I thank you for it. You've hid these things from the wise. Those skilled in the letter, the Greek theologians, the theologians in Israel, the Greek philosophers, I should have said, none of these folk, not even the religious, know anything about you or me, because you've hid it from them. God is the origin of all truth, and he is the creator of every heart capable of receiving truth. God will not reveal himself to any individual until God has created a heart within capable of receiving his truth. You and I came into the world with a stony heart. You little ones, you young ones, that's what your heart is. You can't receive. But the salvation of God in recreating a soul, the work of God in salvation is greater than the work of God in creation. In creation, there was no resistance. There was no rebellion. I'm my own boss. I'm going my own way. I don't want you telling me, Lord, what to do, how to run my life. In salvation, God must subdue a rebellious heart. In the beginning, God created the earth. Was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Without form and void and darkness. But the Spirit of God moved, and God said, let there be light. And before God will ever say anything to you, God's got to give you a heart that his truth will make a lasting impression, and he must give you ears to hear. You don't have to even have average intelligence to accumulate facts about God, but they can't become truth or reality to you until there is a work of the Spirit of God in your heart. Job said, chapter 28, Whence then cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living. Every one of us are or were like the Ethiopian eunuch traveling down to Jerusalem. Now, some of you had to come because your parents said you're going. Others are here because you want to be. He wanted to be at Jerusalem. But he went down there specifically to worship and to hear somebody tell him something from the book. But he obtained nothing. So he left Jerusalem. Whatever the condition, I know this. He left Jerusalem with an empty heart, like some of you will do today. But he desired so much for an understanding. They just stopped his chariot and he was sitting over there reading. And God said to Philip, go over and join yourself to that man. God took him away from a revival and sent him down into the desert to one man. And Philip climbed up into the chariot, saw that he had all or a portion of the Old Testament, saw that he was reading in Isaiah 53, and said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, how can I except some man teach me? That means all that are coming to know God and His Son owe their existence to Him. Now He does, if you will permit it, and you must if you walk in fellowship with Him, He does use men to teach His people. But a man might teach 100 and only one have an understanding of what he was saying. The danger with all of us, we either can't or have difficulty getting quiet long enough to find out God's thoughts towards me. The danger and intoxicating pill handed down to society in the last 20 years, maybe, I don't know, is social media blasting 24/7. And the greater percentage of people have an interest in what their neighbor or friend is doing or what's happening in their lives than developing an intimate relationship with the one who would be the greatest friend you've ever had. But we spend our time on frivolous issues and matters that are passing away with life. And we are so proud of our thinking that we want everybody to know what we're thinking. And we don't get quiet to find out what God's thinking about us. You may not want to know, to tell you the truth. You might not like to find out. if you don't know, just keep on with all the noise in your life and shut God out, and you won't know until you stand before Him. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. I would like to tell you that's in Psalm 10, but I won't. You can find it. Wicked man, because of pride, won't seek after God. The wicked man, because of pride, doesn't have one thought of God. You know what's a grief to me is the days and the times of past life that God was so little in my thinking. And that was before social media. That was before. I don't listen to news. Well, you ought to keep up. I don't trust one single solitary broadcast. True journalism's gone. It doesn't matter with me if you don't like that and you get upset at me. Hadn't you rather find out what God thinks about you than what folk are making up that's going on around the world? Now they will report some things, but they put their slant on it. Well, if you don't look at it, how you know it? I get enough input from others letting me know. Well, one last time, quit meddling in your life. Close out Jeremiah 29. I know that I have read this to you. I can tell you, if I preach from this, I don't know. No more than I even thought that I'd devoted this one message, much less three messages, to God's thoughts. Psalm 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Some years back I told you about one that came to my house and quoted that verse to me, and this one had forsaken the church, was living a lifestyle that no Christian would live, and yet somebody in the church pointed out this verse and they were clinging to it. I know what God thinks about me. Peace and not evil. But I reminded this person of the next two verses. God said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. And you get serious about this, then shall you call upon me. Ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Anybody that's ever had the Spirit of God whisper peace in their soul, they are a continuous seeker after God. They're not living upon, well, God whispered peace to me way back. You're wanting that today. Now, folk, if your choice is treasure, whatever it might be, and you had opportunity to share, you would only share with those that meant something to you, dearly loved. And if you shared, it would be completely at your choosing and your discretion and in your time. The greatest gift a human being could ever receive is God Himself. Christ in you. The old hymn writer said, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned and unclean. Today's society has no problem whatsoever wondering how he could love me. Everybody think, well, I'm worthy to be loved. But one that God deals with them in their hearts, they wonder, how could God love me, a sinner condemned and unclean? And then you find out he does. And we, like the hymn writer, stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. No man knows the Father but me, Jesus said, and he to whomsoever I will reveal him. You are introduced, you walk with, and the closer you get to him, the greater sight you have. And the greater your understanding of the mind of God becomes. It's amazing to me, it's overcoming to me, that God would take a people to such a unique and elevated place where he would tell them, this is what I'm thinking about you. Now, folk, I don't want death to find me without me knowing something of God's thinking towards me. I will know now, Lord, what are you thinking of me today? And for God to reveal his mind, it's overcoming to me. I just sit in silence. You know, if you get in the presence of one that's a lot more intelligent, you just sit and learn. Naomi, when Ruth got back, and she asked her, who art thou, my daughter? She said, well, I'm the one that left here. Naomi, due to her age and experience and wisdom, can say to a younger Ruth, her daughter-in-law, as she may have looked into the face of Ruth that morning and saw her anxiousness, uncertainty, maybe anxiety, And she says to that younger daughter that Ruth couldn't discern Boaz's actions as well as Naomi did. What happened? Well, he spread his skirt over me, and he didn't send me home empty. He gave me these 6 measures of barley. And Naomi saw in Boaz's actions a little of his heart. And she said to that young lady, "Sit still, my daughter. Until you know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be at rest until he hath finished the thing this day." She knew Boaz's heart and told Ruth. If you can find someone that will tell you about the heart of God, listen, dear one. The Lord will send help. He will send a good word from His heart to you through men called to be teachers or preachers. But He, the one sent, and you, the one hearing, you've got to have, both have got to have the Spirit of God. And for you to hear, I'm going to argue this back, will you? You're smarter than I am, of greater intelligence. I'm going to argue that one bit, will you? But if you sit down with any excuse of not hearing, the old man's off his rocker, he gets sidetracked, you'll never hear. And except you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to become a child sitting listening to his parents. And you find out about it. If you've got an interest to know about the heart of God, you rest assured you're going to find out about it. And you're going to find out, oh, how precious are thy thoughts. But see, the only way you found out about it was a divine work of God.